Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. And today we continue Real Science Radio's list of brain-dead patients who recovered. What we've learned so far is that brain-dead means not dead.
Wow, Fred.
So don't trust that diagnosis.
Yeah, what a powerful list this is. And again, a shout-out to LifeSite News for starting this list a few years ago. And then in our own Real Science Radio way, we've been adding to it, and it's become so popular that this year, Fred, we have had many thousands of visitors to our website, rsr.org, to the very page hosting this article.
Well, Bob, I Googled brain dead recovery incognito mode, which means it doesn't know my browsing habits.
Right. Just those three words.
Just the three words, brain dead recovery.
All right.
And we're not only on the first page of results, but we're in the top three out of 4 million pages with
wow.
this topic.
Wow. You know, I Googled a similar phrase, brain dead people who recovered. With that, we're number two, Fred, out of those millions. This means a lot of people are finding Real Science Radio and our daily show, Bob Enyart Live, as they search for information, almost certainly about their loved ones who have received this kind of diagnosis.
That's right. So not only are they finding reliable information about life and death, they're finding biblically based information, and they learn about right and wrong. And you've got a great link to the gospel. It's a really good way
on every page. We have over 10,000 pages on our site. And everyone in the footer, very prominent, the gospel.
And
what a neat presentation it is also of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, while we go through this, just keep in mind, Bob, in that same search page, right below our link was CNN, and theirs was wide.
Oh, you mean on the Google search?
On the Google search.
Okay.
Yeah. It was CNN had why brain dead means dead. I mean, those guys are fake news in so many different ways. It's regular news, science news,
fake news.
There's all the big Fox News, MSNBC. They're all fake news when it comes to science.
We're going to have to put our fake news banner ad on
there you go.
Show summary,
yeah.
Right?
That's
you
right.
created that. That was a great banner. When people find this material, they don't only learn about life and death. Like you said, Fred, they learn about right and wrong. For example, it's not wrong to let an irreversibly dying person die. That's not wrong. But it is wrong to kill someone.
Yep.
That's what's wrong.
And what's sad is it happens so often, and that's why I really think this topic's really important. It's our part two. We did a. You can always go back and listen to part one of this show at rsr.org.
Yes.
And you can stream it or download it.
rsr.org/braindead.
That's right. This topic has ramifications, for example, when we think about organ donation, right? For ourselves.
Course.
We really need to think through these issues.
Right. So as we continue through the list, we've already seen some horrific cases of people who were declared brain dead. They want to harvest their organs and the people wake up. The one guy kicked his way out of the body bag in the mortar.
Body bag in the mortar. Unbelievable.
So, and we're giving the names of these people and the, you know, where you could find more information about them. We link to all this. Well, in 2013 in New York, there was another woman who was pronounced brain dead. Her name is Colleen Burns, Colleen S. Burns. And I said her name is. I didn't say her name was.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, she opened her eyes on the operating table as they're getting ready to harvest her organs.
Oh, this is such a horror. The doctors at St. Joseph's Hospital there in Syracuse, they were called on the carpet for not properly determining if Colleen was actually dead. We know from this list that this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Brain dead means not dead. They didn't properly determine, they say, and even by their rules, which are bogus, but they didn't properly determine whether she was actually dead before they went to her family to ask permission and then scheduled her to harvest her organs. So, Fred, when you and I were preparing for the show, we asked the question, and neither of us knew the answer. We guessed at it. When someone dies at a hospital or at hospice care, and they're going to harvest the organs, do they call in an anesthesiologist? Do they give anesthesia? And that's a really interesting question. I think the public doesn't think about that.
Yeah.
Because first of all, how about these poor people who they're going to start harvesting their organs and they're still alive?
Yeah.
Like that 14-year-old girl. Imagine they start cutting out her eyes and she wakes up. The excruciating pain of someone cutting out your eyes?
Yeah. When this question came up, we were brainstorming on it, and we theorized that likely they are giving anesthesia.
And so we looked into it, and sure enough, they bring in an anesthesiologist. They give anesthesia. And Fred, if the person is dead, if they're dead, why give anesthesia?
Yeah.
I mean, a painkiller. Yep. So they have their excuse. This one doctor says, well, when I've done this, my patient had all his vital signs, a strong heartbeat, and so we want to get the organs. So the anesthesiologist makes sure that everything goes well. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he also makes sure that the guy doesn't jump off the table because you just cut into his face to remove his eyes.
Wow.
So there's way more here than the media acknowledges, than the government acknowledges. And so it is Christians who humble themselves before God and recognize that we are not to kill the innocent. We are the ones who are concerned about what we're doing to our neighbors.
Yeah, it's a worldview. Ours is a culture of life and theirs is a culture of death. This is just another, just horrific examples.
Mm-hmm.
So in October 2012, there was a documentary titled The Girl Who Refused to Die, and this aired on Danish TV. And it told the story of a 19-year-old Karina Melchior, who awoke after the doctors declared her brain dead and had approached the family about considering donating her organs.
Yeah, this documentary over in Europe. And so here's another case. And, you know, often these are teenagers, young people. She's 19 years old. The same exact thing. They want to harvest her organs. They would harvest her organs if she hadn't gone and ruined it and she woke up.
By waking from her coma, so-called, or brain-dead state.
So, Fred, this next, you know, we've been inserting news stories in between our lists of people who have recovered from being diagnosed brain-dead. This next is an honorable mention because Martin Pistorius, not considered brain-dead by his doctors, they told his parents. He was a young kid, 12 years old, got a brain infection. They told his parents that he was a vegetable.
Yeah, and told him to just let him go home and die.
Take him home and let him die, because that's it. His life is over, and he has the mental capacity of a three-month-old. He was 12 years old. So rather than you and I giving any more details, it would be wonderful to hear from Martin himself. Because even though he's lost the use of his vocal cords, well, he's married this beautiful young gal.
Yeah, we got a picture on our website.
Oh, what a photo. And he wrote a book.
He wrote a book.
So you have a vegetable.
A vegetable wrote a book.
Recovers, writes book.
Yeah.
You know, we have another story like that coming up. Brain dead man recovers, writes book.
Yeah.
These are separate stories.
Yep.
But in Martin's case, he did a TED Talk. So he's on stage. But the computer had to read his text.
Yep.
So let's go to Martin Pistorius.
Imagine being unable to say, I am hungry, I am in pain, thank you, or I love you. Being trapped inside your body, a body that doesn't respond to commands. Surrounded by people, yet utterly alone, wishing you could reach out. To connect, to comfort, to participate. For 13 long years, that was my reality. Most of us never think twice about talking, about communicating. I've thought a lot about it. I've had a lot of time to think. For the first 12 years of my life, I was a normal, happy, healthy little boy. Then everything changed. I contracted a brain infection. The doctors weren't sure what it was, but they treated me the best they could. However, I progressively got worse. Eventually, I lost my ability to control my movements, make eye contact, and, finally, my ability to speak. While in hospital, I desperately wanted to go home. I said to my mother, "When, home?" Those were the last words I ever spoke with my own voice. I would eventually fail every test for mental awareness. My parents were told I was as good as not there, a vegetable, having the intelligence of a 3-month-old baby. They were told to take me home and try to keep me comfortable until I died.
Wow.
Wow, amazing.
So powerful.
Yeah, and this guy wrote a book, and he's writing this out, you know, for this TED presentation. He certainly doesn't sound like he has the mind of a vegetable to me, Bob.
No, not at all. So how often are doctors wrong on these life and death decisions? And it's not as though the medical community is part of the culture of life, and occasionally they make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's they are part of the culture of death. They advocate dismembering children in the womb. How brutally wicked can you get? China's done forced abortions on tens of millions of women. Imagine that crime against humanity, and the media could not care less.
Yeah.
Talk about women's rights. They invade a woman. It's like a doctor raping a woman and killing her child inside of her uterus.
Yeah.
Horrific crime. So the medical community that cares virtually nothing about dismembering a child, now they support euthanizing increasingly.
And starving people like Terry Schiavo.
Terry and little Dylan Walborn here in Colorado.
And we know from this evidence that there's a really good chance Terry Schiavo knew exactly what was happening to her.
Oh, just devastating. Yes. Our church, Denver Bible Church, some of our members went down to Florida to try to bring her a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
Because the courts were trying to starve her to death. It was a judicial decree to kill her. And what is especially terrible is that the judges are all our Republican pro-life judges.
Yep.
The whole bunch of them, the 11th Circuit down in Florida, the U.S. Supreme Court, all these Republican these heroes that would, like, on Focus on the Family, James Dobson, would say, we need to support this judge. We need to get him on the bench. And they all voted, every single Republican judge, the whole way up. From the local Judge Greer, Republican, he goes to a Baptist pro-life church, on to all the Republicans on the 11th Circuit, including William Pryor, who's like the darling of the pro-life movement, who knows why, up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Every judge, our judges, pro-life, voted to kill Terry Schiavo.
So, unbelievable.
So this poor guy, Martin, of course he's not a vegetable. It's dehumanizing. It's an insult to call a human being a vegetable, and we're so happy for him and his beautiful missus.
Yep. So the next one we have is in April 2012. Doctors declared a British teen, Stephen Thorpe, brain dead.
Uh-oh.
Yep, telling the father that the boy would never recover from a serious car accident. But despite pressure from the doctors, the father would not consent to allowing the boy's organs to be donated.
Oh, and thank the Lord
absolutely.
That he refused.
Yep. So with the help of other doctors, 5 weeks later, Thorpe left the hospital having almost
teenager?
Yeah. He almost completely recovered, almost 100%.
Just absolutely stunning. So then in 2011 in Quebec, a woman, Madeleine Guérin, she was identified as viable for organ donation after doctors diagnosed her as brain dead. Her family and physicians were shocked when she opened her eyes.
Yeah, she began to eat right away.
I'm hungry. She said, yeah, right. I guess you would be, right?
Yep. Next, in May 2011, an Australian woman was declared brain dead.
Her name's Gloria Cruz.
Yep. She regained consciousness, and this is after the family fought the doctor's recommendations for quite some time to prevent her ventilator from being shut off.
Yeah, and Fred, did you notice the name of the hospital that Gloria was in?
Yeah.
It's the Royal Darwin Hospital down there.
Royal Darwin, yeah.
Darwin.
Yeah.
Wasn't it our friend, Dr. Jerry Bergman, he has like six PhDs, who wrote the book Darwinism, the Universal Acid.
How it destroys
everything it touches. And the big fans of Darwinism and social Darwinism, they are these godless, humanist, socialist, communist regimes that have slaughtered tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
The Nazis. Around the world, Darwinism, that we're just animals, we're only quantitatively different, we're not qualitatively different, it has led to a mindset where we treat human beings like they're animals.
Our worldviews have devastating consequences, and hey, that's one of the reasons we have Real Science Radio.
Yes, devastating if the worldview is wrong, because then you neglect God and the special place that mankind has on this earth. In February 2008, this 65-year-old gal, I think she's the oldest of the ones we've mentioned in this list, her name is Raylene Kupferschmidt.
Well, good job on the pronunciation.
That's quite a name, huh? Kupferschmidt. She was taken home to die after relatives were told by doctors that she was brain dead because she had a cerebral hemorrhage. So the family, Fred, they're planning the mom's funeral. And what a beautiful woman and her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter's there grieving. And since her mother, she's alive, right?
Yeah.
The hospital says your mother's dead. They call it brain dead.
Yep.
But brain dead means not dead. So the daughter took an ice cube and passed it over her mother's lips. And her mother sucked on the ice cube.
Oh, wow.
And her daughter, Lisa Sturm, she says, and this comes from ABC News. She says, "Mom, are you in there?" And her mother shook her head yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
So here's another story. St. Paul, Minnesota, University Hospital.
Yep. Then March 2008, this really is a chilling case. 21-year-old Zach Dunlap.
Another young guy, young person.
He had an ATV accident and was declared brain dead.
Ugh.
And he tells the story of how he remembers hearing the doctors talking about harvesting his organs.
Oh, boy. You know, Martin, we just heard from Martin. That guy, Martin Pistorius, he says, realize that people you think can't hear you, they very well may be able to hear you and understand.
Exactly. That's a good lesson of many to take from this.
You know, our perverted leaders who say they didn't know a microphone was live, George W. Bush with his filthy mouth, and the whole bunch of them.
Yep.
They all do that. And we've been on the radio, Fred, Bob in Your Life, 26 years, 5 days a week. Every mic is always live. Every mic.
Yep.
And when you're not in front of a mic, God is listening.
Yep.
So everyone, you're always heard. Everything is recorded. Jesus said, every idle word you'll be judged for. And so here is this kid, Zach. We have a son, Zachary. He's about the same age. Fred, could you imagine listening to the doctors saying how they want to start removing your organs?
Yeah. When he showed signs of life, it was right before they were going to wheel him in and start cutting into him, taking his organs out. I mean, it was that close. And so what happened was one of his relatives provoked the reaction by digging a pocket knife under his fingernail. So if the relative hadn't have done that, this guy who knew what was going on, Zach Dunlap, he would have been in an operating room knowing what they're doing.
Right. And, you know, they would have given him anesthesia.
Yep.
So he wouldn't have had a reaction. They'd just go ahead, remove his liver, remove his kidneys, remove his eyes, remove whatever they wanted to remove. Maybe his lungs, probably his heart. Hey, he's worth a lot.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable.
So in May of that year, a Virginia family was shocked, but of course relieved, when their mother, her name is Val Thomas, she woke up after doctors declared her brain dead.
Which means not dead. Well, instead, it's the opposite. CNN, like we showed on the Google search, they say brain dead means dead.
Brain dead means dead.
That's what they're pushing the culture of death.
So CNN would not want to cover this list.
No, they would ignore it.
Brain dead people who recovered, because they're part of the culture of death, and they prefer when you kill the innocent. They don't like killing the guilty. If someone is a convicted murderer. They don't like killing the guilty, but they lust for killing the innocent.
Yeah.
Unborn children, the elderly, the handicapped, euthanizing people.
Yeah, what's that verse in the Bible? Why do you kill those who deserve to live,
in
the
Ezekiel.
Innocent?
Yeah. Oh, Fred. Yeah, God says, do not profane me by killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live.
Exactly, yeah.
So both of these are evil, according to God, both of them.
Yep.
So to be a liberal, for example, with the case of abortion for rape, you have to want to kill the baby and protect the rapist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to do.
Yep. And, you know, like my son just said today about this tragic event that happened a few days ago here in Denver where that 10-year-old girl was killed. And he said, you know, and the liberals are just going to keep his killer alive they find him. I don't think they found him yet, but when and hopefully they do.
Fred,
they're going to keep him alive.
Absolutely.
They should kill him.
Devastating. America has a murder epidemic. Mm-hmm. We've had it for so long. We're just numb to it. It's just devastating. And God promises in the Bible that if we had the swift death penalty, that people would hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously.
Yeah, and you would have a much lower death rate, and you have much fewer murderers, and you know, you would save the lives of not only the people who get murdered, but the murderers themselves.
Yes. We talked about Google rankings. When people Google God and the death penalty, we've done very well for quite a few years.
Yeah, that's a great article.
With a powerful article of the New Testament support for capital punishment.
Oh, wait, I thought it was only the Old Testament, Bob,
it's
that supported the
New
death
Testament.
Penalty.
Jesus and the apostles.
How many ignorant Christians say that it's, that's just Old Testament stuff?
Oh, that was Pat Robertson until he watched our video
interesting.
On
I didn't know
death
that.
Penalty. And then he quoted from it in a show in the coming weeks. Not that
Did
we
he
wanted,
change his point
yeah,
of view? Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's
not,
great. I didn't know
he
that.
He was pro-death penalty, but he thought it was only in the Old Testament.
Oh, wow.
But not that we want to take credit for him, because he's horrific.
Yeah, he is.
He even supports China's forced abortion.
Yeah, yep.
Even that, and if you don't believe it, go to ProLifeProfiles.com and read the profile of Pat Robertson. It will make you want to vomit.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
This is like the religious
bad.
Leaders of the Bible times,
mm-hmm.
when God despised so many of them because of their wickedness.
Yep. So, just to finish on this Val Thomas, the doctors detected brain waves for more than 17 hours. They kept her on a respirator. The family was discussing organ donation options for their mother when she suddenly woke up and started speaking to the nurses.
Yeah.
I mean, just, hey, stop.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
I'm awake, by the way. Hey, nurse, come here. Would you tell them to stop talking about donating my organs?
Is this in Botswana? Oh, no, this was in Virginia. We said that already. Yeah, so then in June of that year, this guy in Paris, his organs, the story is becoming redundant, right?
Yeah.
His organs were about to be removed by doctors after he had died of a heart attack. And he's on the operating table. In his case, it was minutes before, who knows, probably seconds, before the doctors were about to cut into him to harvest his organs. And he woke up on the operating table.
Wow.
Yeah.
So some related news items. So LifeSite News is where they started this first list of brain dead patients who aren't brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
So great website. You have a good warning on the webpage. This isn't lifenews.com. It's LifeSiteNews.com.
Yeah, we have this graphic, a little meme. It says, warning, avoid lifenews.com and use LifeSiteNews.com, which is far better. If anyone clicks on that graphic, Fred, we had the editor of Life News, he's affiliated with National Right to Life, on this program. And he concocted a story. You want to talk about fake news.
Mm-hmm.
A Republican president nominated about 20 judges to the federal bench. And Life News did this article that they're all pro-life and we have to fight for them to get them confirmed. It's just a lie.
It is.
Completely. It was completely fabricated. There was absolutely no evidence that these judges were pro-life.
They just wanted to support the Republican.
Yes. And of course they weren't, because the federal judiciary is overwhelmingly pro-abortion, even though 60% of federal judges had been nominated by Republican pro-life presidents. and they were all, to a man and a woman, in denial that the unborn child has a right to life. The whole bunch of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Yep. So Life News, avoid them, lifenews.com. But
use
Life go
Site
to
News.
Life Site, yes. S-I-T-E, news.com.
Yes.
So we mentioned earlier, there's another person who wrote a book after being declared brain dead, a brain dead author.
Yeah, this comes from the Belfast Telegraph. So this guy is from Northern Ireland, Jonathan Fisher, and he had Addison's disease. His mother, Fred, ignored the advice of the doctors to switch off his life support.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because they said he was brain dead. And that's according to the Belfast Telegraph. They're giving this account. But mom was convinced that her son could recover because she would notice that he would react to her with occasional slight movement of his little finger.
Just a little, yep.
And so many families have given testimony like this.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Schiavo's case.
Exactly. Yeah,
Jahi McMath, we talked about with that neonatal neurologist who came on the show and agrees with all this information we're presenting. So here's mom saying, I don't believe it. So now they say against all odds. Turns out it's more common than they might think up there in Northern Ireland. This man has made a remarkable recovery, and he's regained many of the skills he lost as a result of his original condition.
Yep. And they wanted to kill him, basically.
Yeah.
This next one is, I think maybe a lot of people heard this story. I heard this when it was actually covered on the news. A man was trapped in a 23-year coma, and then he wakes up and he reveals how he knew all the stuff. He was conscious, basically, for 23 years.
I think we should share the account of this man from Alan Hall. He was writing for the Daily Mail over in England. So, like you said, Fred, he describes this man trapped in a 23-year-long coma and the horrors of it because he's conscious throughout. He's a car crash victim, and he endured this for 23 years after he was misdiagnosed. They thought he was in a coma. So, Fred, we've seen that sometimes, forget about brain dead, they just get dead wrong.
Yeah.
They think somebody's dead,
yeah,
and they're burying them and they wake up. Or they get coma wrong. He's not in a coma. And brain dead is always wrong because brain dead means not dead.
Not dead, yep.
So this poor guy, Ram Hubin, trapped in his paralyzed body after this crash, described his real-life nightmare as he screamed to doctors that he could hear them screaming, but he could make no sound. He said, I screamed, but there was nothing to hear.
Wow. That is terrible. 23 years worth. Can you imagine that?
Now he's 46 years old. The doctors thought he was in a persistent vegetative state, right? They say persistent vegetative state. That's an inherently dehumanizing term, again, to call somebody a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a vegetative state. Vegetables are so much more complicated than these dimwits realize anyway.
Exactly.
But we are human beings.
Yep.
We have a body, soul, and spirit, and we are eternal creatures.
Yep. And you know what this story reminds me of? And this is super sad. So my wife worked for a facility for people who needed rehabilitation, mentally sick people. One example that I remember was this girl who was a really high up cadet at the Air Force Academy, and she was injured in a car wreck. And so she had lost a lot of brain function, so called. And her parents would show up like once a week and then once every other week and then once a month. And eventually they just stopped coming.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. And
that
Sandy said
it
probably at least half the patients, at least, it starts like that. The parents come frequently,
right,
the less often. That's eventually, they abandon them completely.
That's when we institutionalize our loved ones.
Yep.
Now,
good point.
There are those rarer occasions where you just can't provide for the needs of someone.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, grandma falls down, breaks her hip, and she gets a life sentence in a nursing home where it is a nightmare. So many elderly grandparents, granddad, grandma, they say they want to go into a nursing home because they can't bear the pain of their children telling them, we won't care for you.
Yep.
So they say, I want to go in there.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about retirement living.
Yeah, so, yeah, I hear you. It's so sad because this girl, she was, you know, fully functional, as they call her. So they could have easily been taken care of in her home.
Of course.
But then the parents abandoned her.
So in this case, Fred, with this Rom Hubin, who was not in a coma for 23 years, he was paralyzed. The doctors had used a range of tests before they ended up concluding wrongly that his consciousness was extinct. That's what they said, extinct. I don't know if that's a technical term. There is a top neurological expert, Dr. Stephen Laurie. He leads the coma science group and Department of Neurology at Leeds University. He thinks it's thousands of people around the world like this. 20 years ago, there was an 86-year-old gal from New York, Carrie Coons. She regained consciousness after a year, and she asks for some food and starts chatting.
Chatting, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Here's another horrific case of a guy from Sweden who hears doctors urging the harvesting of his organs. He can hear everything.
Yeah. His name is Jimmy Fritz. He's in the hospital. He hears everything the doctors say. Then his family members, a dozen family members, come in to say goodbye to them, and they're talking about organ donation.
Yeah.
It's just... I mean, I'm laughing because it's horrifying. Sometimes in a horror movie, people laugh because you don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
It's scary.
In his case, it would take 3 days until they got a second opinion, and thankfully from a doctor, you know, who knew what they were doing. They returned from holiday. She looked at the scans, and this is him talking about it. He's saying, she looked at my scans and said, this doesn't look so bad. And she told the staff to give me, again, I'm talking about what this Jim wrote,
right,
to bring down the swelling in my brain, he recalled.
Wow.
But even so, my girlfriend and my sister had to fight with the night nurse to give me cortisone. And this was just one day before they said they would make a final chance of survival assessment.
Yeah, because they wanted his organs. Good thing it was the night nurse. The day nurse would have been more determined.
Yeah, exactly.
To disagree with the parents. Fred, here in Denver, there was a little boy, Dylan Walborn.
Yep.
And he was euthanized by Denver's Children's Hospital. He did not have a terminal illness. Not that that would matter. If you have a terminal illness, you don't shoot the patient, kill a little boy because he has a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
Morally, it is okay to let a dying person die. It's not okay to kill someone. Well, Dylan was handicapped. And at Denver's Children's Hospital, their ethics board makes me want to gag.
Oh, yeah.
When I hear that term in this pro-abortion context, they decided that it would be a good thing to do to starve little Dylan to death. And that's what they did. The Denver Post covered the whole thing. It took 3 weeks to kill him. 3 weeks,
man.
He died of starvation, and they had a going away party for him. The parents, a local pastor came, a social worker came. The whole thing was disgusting. And if you starved to death a horse or a dog, you would go to jail.
Yep. That's unbelievable. Yep. So how about this young Honduras woman? She was buried. They thought she was dead, and she awoke to scream for help in the cemetery from within her coffin.
Come on now, Fred. This is, you're making this up.
Sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
It can't be, but this was just in 2015.
I remember this one, yep.
And reported in the London Telegraph. Another news story about Denver's Children's Hospital, the undead babies at Children's. This was reported at Slate.com. That's a
very liberal,
outlet,
far left,
left wing, child killing, pro-abortion. They published this article in 2008 called The Undead Babies. And these are at Colorado's Children's Hospital here. The babies who could be revived and often are not. So the doctors there and the ethicists, you know, they're the same ones who 3 years before this article had already intentionally starved to death little Dylan.
Yep.
So the same people. This medical center, they really do help so many families, and they save so many kids, but that does not give Children's Hospital the right to kill others.
That's right.
And their pro-abortion, pro-euthanasia support for the death culture means that they are not to be trusted when they decide not to revive an undead baby. That's what Slate.com called that.
Wow, unbelievable. And this one, these are all so bad, but what about this woman who was declared dead and then she was cremated while she was alive were able to prove that?
This is the worst of the worst of the worst, right? This is way worse. How do you get worse than this? This is according, again, to the London Telegraph. This is this year.
Yeah, 2017.
2017. Like, these stories are not 130 years old from some out-of-print local newspaper.
Yeah, back these to the, all, you know, when science, you know, the medical community was didn't have any technique or tools or, you know, they were barbaric.
Yeah, no, these are all from the last decade or so. And in this case, here is 24-year-old Rachna Sisodia. So she is in India, and she was declared dead at the Sharda Hospital. It's in northern India. But an autopsy after her partial cremation. Mm-hmm. Why would you have a partial cremation? Maybe because it was stopped. She was put on a traditional funeral pyre, and they found ash in her respiratory tract, which meant she breathed in the hot ashes.
Yep. It's what happens when someone is burnt alive. The particles go inside with the breath.
Yes. Go in the lungs, the windpipe. So the doctors concluded that the woman was burned alive on the pyre after she had been declared dead at the local hospital.
Yep. So many years ago, we had a wicked governor of Colorado, Dick Lamb. And I remember you had an encounter with him.
Yes. Duty to die, Dick Lamb. Years ago, 1967, before he was governor, he was a state legislator, and he introduced a bill to decriminalize the killing of innocent children in Colorado, and it passed the legislature, and our Republican governor, Governor John Love, signed it into law.
Yep.
3 months later, Ronald Reagan decriminalizes abortion in California, and the numbers of babies killed become epidemic. Hundreds of thousands of babies on his watch.
Mm-hmm.
Really great, horrific tragedy. Well, there was a panel at the University of Denver just 3 years ago, a panel discussion on euthanasia, and Dick Lamb, the former governor of Colorado, was asked to be the moderator of the panel. And so I was invited on the panel. There was a DU law professor and a Hemlock Society board member. Fred, you know the Hemlock Society?
I've heard not so very flattering things about them.
Yeah, they're the suicide group. They changed their name recently, but they're the suicide people. They, like liberals typically, they support killing the innocent, but they're against killing the guilty.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's the panel. And Dick Lamb, he interjected throughout, and I would challenge him. I mean, he's the moderator. The panelists are supposed to challenge one another, but I would go after him because he was the biggest fish.
That's a good idea. Good strategy.
Yeah, and so it turns out they were all lying, and I confronted Dick Lamb directly to his face in front of this audience of college students and, you know, the public, because they were supporting a euthanasia law like we have here in Colorado right now, physician-assisted suicide, medical aid in dying. They have these euphemisms.
So they eventually got their way, sadly.
You know, we pointed out maybe if they'd use a gun to kill these patients, that more people would realize it was wrong.
Yeah.
But they do it in a very calm, peaceful way. They give them a lethal pill, a lethal prescription.
Yeah, but really good way of illustrating the problem. Kind of like the eagle leg thing was a great analogy.
Oh, yeah, when we cooked eagle eggs on TV. We have that on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
RSR.org, click on YouTube, and it's fun. But so, Fred, they claimed, and Dick Lamb claimed, that they only support euthanizing a patient, killing a patient, if, one, it's voluntary, two, it's only adults, and three, it's only for terminally ill patients.
Mm-hmm. And what a lie that is, right?
It's all a lie because not one of them cared in the least or disagreed or would confront Children's Hospital right here in their own city for that high-profile decision. It was covered extensively in the Denver Post. I think it was 8 pages of news, 8 pages. And they intentionally starved Dylan Wallborn to death. This was not voluntary.
So how'd they react to this obvious double standard? I mean, they live in a world of constant double standard.
You know, I told them that brain dead people revive all the time. They denied it. Never happened. Not one time ever. So people who are diagnosed as brain dead revive. And they said, no, never. And I asked Dick Lamb, and I think it was the Hemlock Society guy, I forget which, I'll bet you $1,000. And we bet. And that's when we started to put this list together.
And I bet you never saw $1,000.
Well, I never went back to him.
Yeah.
Because we're busy. Real Science Radio, Bob and Your Live.
Yep.
Theology Thursday. We're going to Noah's Ark.
Yeah, that's right.
In Kentucky. Ken's Noah's Ark. We're busy.
Is it okay that I'm jealous about that?
That's okay. In a nice Christian way. Yeah, jealousy's good.
Yeah.
Envy's bad.
There you go. There you go. Yep.
But God is a jealous God. So, Fred, what they did to Dylan Wallborn was not voluntary. He was not an adult. He's 4 years old. And he wasn't terminally ill. He was handicapped.
Yep.
And you
Big
think they
difference.
Would oppose it? They won't oppose
oh,
that.
Heck no.
So they are liars. They are liars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They only support the killing of the innocent. That's what motivates them because they're in rebellion against God. Fred, that is Real Science Radio's list of brain dead patients who've recovered.
And sadly, this is the one list we don't want to keep growing, but it's going to until, you know, we can stop this.
Yeah. And Lord willing, well, in fact, the Lord will return.
He will.
There's a debate among Christians about when.
Mm-hmm. Fun debate.
You know what we say at Denver Bible Church, and we can't wait for the Lord to return, and we hope it's any moment. Well, it could be any moment. We hope it's soon. But we'd say to our end times friends who are sort of obsessed, we say, could you stop talking to us about the last days and only tell us when we're in the last seconds? Because we've been in the last days for decades. So when we get to the last seconds, then bring it up again.
Yeah. But I like what Missler said, too, about
Chuck Missler.
Yeah, Chuck Missler, about those who are not the rapture variety. He's like, well, we'll explain it to you on the way up.
Yeah. That
and then
is,
a friend of mine who's
great.
Amillennialism, he said, I'll respond. I don't care.
Yeah, right. So when the Lord returns and there is a 1,000-year millennial kingdom on earth with Jesus ruling from his throne in Jerusalem with a rod of iron, these types of evil things will not happen during that 1,000 years. There will still be sin in people's hearts, and some will be in rebellion against God. And then there'll be a final rebellion. And, you know, the book of Revelation, we study that verse by verse. It's one of my favorite studies we've ever done. It's just so fascinating what is to come. But then there will be the great white throne judgment, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. So
there is a big bang.
Yeah, there is.
It just hasn't happened yet.
That's right. So there comes a time when all this will not happen. But with God's help, maybe in the meantime, we might be able to help doctors know that it's not wrong to let a dying person die, but it is wrong to kill the innocent.
That's right. And we can let our audience know, and fellow Christians, who many did not know about this. And it really changes your thinking on organ donation. It changes your thinking if, you know, these parents that just abandon their kids because they think they're dead. They're vegetables, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And how many examples are so tragic of these people who are actually awake, they're cognizant, they hear, feel, they love, everything. And yet so many of us turn our back on them.
Yes. So what a powerful topic. Thank you so much, Fred. Brain dead means not dead. So don't trust that diagnosis. This is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.